Hello and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. I'm Ashley Nickel with the Packer and PMG, and today we'll bring you two different conversations that we've had this week. The first one will be with Mary Coppola, Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the United Fresh Produce Association, about their upcoming event, Brandstorm. So this event will cover all sorts of different marketing topics. It'll have speakers from inside the industry, from outside the industry, topics about B2B communication, consumer-facing marketing, and a lot of discussions on things that are unique for this year based on what happened in 2020. You'll also hear today our conversation with Joe Watson, Vice President of Membership and Engagement at Produce Marketing Association, and Steve Pat, Director of Business Development for Turtelot & Company, about the new Essentials of Produce at Retail training that PMA has developed for entry-level produce retail associates. I'm really excited for you to hear both of these conversations because I think both are really great assets for the industry. Obviously, we have a lot of people in our audience who are produce marketers, but I know I have learned that whoever you are, whatever you do, marketing is part of your job. Marketing yourself, marketing your company, your services, your product. Everybody can learn something from this kind of content. And on the training side, something that came to my mind as I was talking with Joe and Steve is everyone in produce has heard the old saying, your first loss is your best loss. Well, on a totally unrelated topic, when it comes to training, your first cost is often your best cost, right? The another old saying, the check you don't write, some money invested on the front end in training can reduce your shrink, can reduce your turnover because you give folks a glimpse at what, you know, a career might be and what next steps could look for them down the road. You empower people to give your shopper a better experience, a conversation with someone who can answer their basic questions. A really neat opportunity here, I think, in terms of training that PMA has put together. So without further ado, we'll take you first to our conversation with Mary. Hi, I'm Ashley Nickel with the Packer and PMG. We have with us today Mary Coppola with United Fresh. Mary, thanks so much for joining us.
Ashley, it's so good to see you. And thank you for having me today. I'm happy to talk to you about Brandstorm.
Absolutely. It's hard to believe it's already next week, the 9th through the 11th, and all kinds of fun stuff coming up from you guys Tuesday through Thursday, if I am aligning everything correctly.
Yep, we're the 9th to the 11th. We are going to have our opening party on the 8th. So hoping that folks can steal away for an hour that afternoon and just start to network with the other Brandstorm attendees. And then we really get into the thick of the content starting on Tuesday.
Excellent. And Mary, as you and I were just discussing before we started recording here, COVID, of course, has shaped absolutely everything in the last year. And I know, of course, I'm sure that collective experience of everyone has shaped, you know, how you guys put this event together also. And so I was wondering whether it was, you know, key topics that arose out of the unique circumstances of the past year, you know, what are some of the ways that our current reality has influenced the content this next week?
Yeah, Ashley, you know, just today, I've been talking to some of our members about empathy in marketing in our communications, whether that's with the consumer or whether that's with business partners. And I think when we think of the word empathy, I don't know how frequently you were using it before last March 2020. I certainly wasn't giving it a lot of thought day in and day out. It might have been part of a practice, but we weren't having conversations about it. And so I think that's one of the most unique topics of conversation that has come out of the not just the pandemic, but everything that's happened in our culture this past year that we're going to address next week, and being able to facilitate a conversation around how to be more empathetic or how to be more conscious of empathy marketing is really the goal for the conversation. As you said, with everything that's happened this past year, there are things that maybe a thought leader has not yet come to the surface, or there isn't somebody with a solution for some of the marketing challenges that we're facing right now. But certainly when you gather 300 people, a conversation is the best way to find a solution or find a path forward. And that's what we plan to do next week.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that, empathy, of course, is important, whether you're talking about the business to business side of it or the consumer facing side of it. how do you guys decide kind of how much emphasis to put on B2B and how much on B2C when you're doing this conference?
Well, you know, for this one in particular, it had to be 50-50. We couldn't have the conversation about empathy only with consumer messaging and not with business messaging or vice versa. But a lot of the content that gets developed for Brandstorm, if not all of it, is a suggestion that comes out of United Fresh's Produce Marketing and Merchandising Council. And we've talked about that group before. It's about 50 executives from the industry that are United Fresh members and volunteer to serve in that group. And we spend most of our time throughout the year when we meet in person three times. This past year was unique. We met about six or seven times to really talk about what topics are most important and most challenging to produce marketers right now, and how can United Fresh address those topics through education or resources or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And kind of along a similar line, how did you all figure out how many voices to bring in from outside industry and then from the industry itself? I don't know if the weirdness of the past year, you know, influenced that one way or another, if that was different than previous years.
That is always a fun balance, right? Because you have differing opinions, and some folks only want to hear from the folks in the industry that they respect or that we see frequently in trade media or at events on stage. And others really want to look outside the box, if you will. You know, what are the other voices? What are the other companies? What are other verticals doing in their businesses that we could adopt? So there's always a balance between the two. When it comes to putting this programming together, we certainly look for ideas outside of our industry first. That tends to be where it even generates thoughts for ourselves of who maybe in the industry is best suited. This year, what I think is really interesting is that we searched the globe for speakers. So because of the growth of our global attendance last June at United Fresh Live, we started making some new friends around the world and found that there were some other voices and opinions on a global marketing scale. And without having to travel to Berlin this winter, which most of us like to do in February, we thought this was a good opportunity to bring some of those trends and those voices into the programming. So although those folks are in the industry, they might have been outside of our Brandstorm community in past years. And, you know, it's exciting to connect with new folks. I make a lot of friends in the planning of Brandstorm each year as we start to ask people to speak on our programming.
Gotcha. And what were some of the topics that you guys heard the most about this year? I know one that stood out to me as I was looking at the schedule was budget planning for the year of nobody knows what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, that one's going to be a really great one. Budget certainly is a topic that is on the agenda every single year, as is some type of crisis communications, which this year would align with the empathy marketing. But some of the other ones, Ashley, and you've done plenty of reporting on this year, is the changing shopper behavior and what is happening in retail and where are consumers getting their produce. There's so many new channels. There's so many new trends. Certainly a lot of reports just recently came out from United and others about what's happening, how consumers are purchasing produce, and if that's growing, if it's not. So we're really excited to start tackling some of those consumer demographics next week. We have a group talking about the Hispanic shopper, which is really a growing opportunity in the US right now to understand that shopper and to gain their loyalty to some of our brands. We also are going to look at a report that was presented during the United Refresh experience in January. Moxie Marketing and Category Partners are going to be talking further about their shopper survey that they had done and what insights they're finding about how shoppers are purchasing fresh produce this year. So that's going to be a big topic next week.
Mm-hmm. And I saw that packaging was also on the list. And I wondered too, just from sort of a planning perspective, we talk about packaging so much, you know, how do you figure out, you know, what voices can we bring that maybe people haven't heard, or, you know, how do we have a fresh take on this discussion that is so relevant and we discuss so often?
Yeah, so packaging is going to be in more than just one session, but we do have one specific session talking about sustaining the gains in our sustainable packaging initiatives. As we all know, before last March, that was really a big initiative for most companies, and not just the packaging piece of it, but sustainable initiatives. Mm-hmm. And then as the pandemic happened, some plastic made its way back into the supply chain and is still there in some cases. So we really wanted to explore who pumped the brakes on sustainable packaging initiatives and who maybe just kept going. Because if you look back, it wasn't just our packaging innovations that maybe didn't make the cut. There were a lot of companies that were hurt hard in March that had to make some significant cuts in their budgets. And innovation tends to be one of those places where you make a budget cut in marketing, as we all know, again, going back to the budget conversation. So to be able to explore maybe who was hardest hit, how they were hit, and conversely, who decided to double down on sustainability during the pandemic? And when they did, what are the results? So we're going to take a look at some of those. And we do have a couple companies from the industry who are going to be talking about how they doubled down and what the results were.
Excellent. And then Mary, the last one for you on this, I was just thinking there's so much on the agenda this coming week. What do you think are going to be a few of the fan favorites when this is all said and done at the end of next week?
Oh, yeah. Ashley, we're already seeing just through our promotions that the iHeartMedia digital marketing session is going to be popular. We're so excited that they're agreeing to participate at Brandstorm this year and are going to talk about how digital media is changing. And when we're talking about media, the consumer media session that Chadwick Boyd always hosts for us is always a fan favorite, you know. And so we're anticipating the same type of popularity this year as well. But I have to be honest, with 300 folks coming and hopefully more in the next couple of days, we should have a lot of conversations happening. And I don't think any two attendees are going to have the same experience with so many concurrent sessions and networking opportunities. So I'm actually excited to hear how everybody, how their Brandstorm turns out for them when the end of the day comes along next week.
Excellent. Well, Mary, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks so much for taking the time to preview the event for us, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Ashley. Bye.
Bye. So that was our conversation with Mary. We'll take you over now to our interview with Joe and Steve. Hi, I'm Ashley Nickel with the Packer and PMG, and we have with us today Joe Watson with the Produce Marketing Association and Steve Pat with Turtelot & Company. And these folks are on with us today to talk about PMA's new training program, The Essentials of Produce at Retail. Guys, thanks so much for joining me today.
Highly welcome, Ashley.
Thanks, Ashley.
Absolutely. So, Joe, we'll start with you. Tell me a little bit about who the kind of the primary audience is for this new training that you guys have as part of your Fresh Ed Academy.
Sure. Thanks, Ashley. You know, this started about almost 3 years ago now when we were reaching out to retailers, interviewing them, understanding what their greatest needs were, especially at the operational level. And what we soon found out was that having a tool that could help elevate their store teams, especially those that they were bringing on board, even those that were kind of newer in their roles, was going to have a great value to them. And so as we continued the conversations and then later formed the retail task force, which Steve was part of in this process, we identified that it was the regional and the independent retailers where this tool could really benefit the most. So that's the direction we took with development of this program.
Gotcha. And Steve, what were a few of those pain points that you were familiar with working with the customers that you guys do that were especially important to address with this?
So the overall issue was just the lack of any cohesive training at all that existed, particularly within regional supermarkets and independent supermarkets, as Joe has indicated. A lot of the larger chains and larger store groups have their own and some very, very good training programs. But it's oftentimes expensive and it's sort of down there on the list. Training is always one of the first things that gets cut when there's a budget issue. So to be able to provide what I consider anyway, a very low cost per person opportunity for a young person to learn the basics and to at least get in with an understanding of how this business works, this retail produce business works, is really, really exciting. And it really fills a niche that is that's been missing for a long time, actually. Since the first days of the real retail produce training with the green boxes and so on and so forth. Since those days, there really hasn't been anything that that the retailers have been able to get their hands on.
And you bring up a good point, Steve. What has training looked like over the years? Because I'd imagine it's a lot of the changing of structure of things over the past several decades that has made it, you know, harder maybe for companies to execute some of that training than maybe it was traditionally.
Yeah, great question. It's been all over the map, Ashley. It's been all over the map. And unfortunately for a lot of the independents, it's been, sort of pulling someone out of because of the turnover, pulling someone out of the dairy department or off of a street or off of a front end and throwing them into a produce department and giving them, you know, maybe they'll add 40 hours to the schedule for training. But they'll, it's a very quick throw you in the deep end of the pool kind of system. And that's the way it's been for a long time, quite honestly. As I said initially, training, everyone believes that training is important. But what we've really sort of failed to do as an industry is elevate that importance to a point where we're willing to pay for it the way it should be. And that's what's really exciting about this program.
And Joe, of course, you have many years in produce retail leadership. One of the things I noticed when I was looking over the curriculum for this course was it really goes into some pretty great depth in terms of the supply chain and kind of the background of everything, you know, that happens to get the produce to those stores. What kind of a difference do you think it makes when, you know, your folks who are at store level, maybe they're even part-time, you know, or they're working in the department, what kind of difference do you think it makes when those folks have kind of a greater understanding of this bigger picture that they're a part of?
Great question, Ashley. And number one, it gives them the tools that they need to understand how to take care of the products that they're handling. So much shrink and damage happens in the handling process at the store. When we consider how much effort goes into getting product in its pristine state, fresh, ripe, whatever that may be, into the hand of the retailer, and then we drop the ball in the last 50 feet. That is the worst thing that can happen, and it happens all the time. Not because people don't care, they don't know. And that's where this this tool can help elevate those team members to have that understanding. Think about this. When a customer walks in the store, that customer sees a clerk, and they believe that clerk knows the answer to their questions. And when they don't know the basic answer to a question that they should know, that really doesn't sit well with the consumer. And the consumer doesn't really understand it. You know, they don't believe so much that the person taking care of the product really understands what's important to them. And so it's just a great opportunity to elevate them and really make those team members feel like they're part of that. And they're really growing their knowledge and their experience.
If I could just add something to that, Ashley. What Joe says is so right. And in, 90% of American supermarkets now, the produce department is the first department and the produce clerk is the first employee. And if the first employee they run into doesn't know what's going on, that sets the, that sets the tone for the rest of the store as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that those frontline folks understand, as much as they can possibly understand about the department they're working in.
And again, kind of thinking about the curriculum of the course here, everything from supply chain information to, handling for a number of different produce items. But then you guys also go into a little more depth on merchandising, on, that customer interaction, suggestive selling, upselling. What's the potential and what are maybe some stories that stand out to you over the years of, when people are given, like you said, the tools to kind of know what those a little bit more advanced approaches are and the potential that can give to making a department better.
You know, there's no way this tool is going to answer every question and give the person who takes it every tool they'll need over the course of their career. It gives them the jump start is what it does. It's, you know, we knew we weren't going to solve every opportunity or every challenge, but we knew this was going to be a great start. What I would say, Ashley, is this, is that when a produce associate interacts with a customer, you have an opportunity to gain a customer, not just for the store, but you actually build your own personal brand, and that you build a camaraderie with them, and they know that they can count on you when they're in the store to come to you for what are those solutions. Hey, look, I want to try this item, but how do I try it? How to use it? When is the best time to purchase it? When we're out of the COVID period, let's taste it. You know, sampling is difficult right now. But that is the best way to sell a product is to get it in the customer's mouth. And so these tools will add all those features and all those skills that they'll need to be able to do that with their consumers and to help their business, again, grow and continue to build out those relationships. But that's what it really is.
You know, Ashley, when an employee knows inherently about what they're selling, or if they know their product, they know how to handle it, it develops a level of confidence within that employee to, and the more confident they are, the better they become at their job. My hope, and I think the industry's hope, is that a tool like this can take a raw kid off the streets and maybe doesn't know what he wants to do. Maybe they learn to love this. You know, I did not go to, when I first started, I certainly didn't anticipate I would be selling zucchini for the rest of my life for 50 years. I didn't think that at all. But I fell in love with this. I absolutely fell in love with it. And I couldn't leave it if I wanted to, and I haven't been able to. And it's, so we're hoping that the more excited they become, and that excitement comes from knowledge and understanding and a confidence that, oh my gosh, I just solved that lady's, I just answered that lady's question about how best to store asparagus. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty good about myself. That's something I couldn't have done before. That confidence just brings their ability level up a notch, up two notches, and we begin to make careers instead of jobs. And that's what ultimately I think we'd all like to see.
That's a great point, Steve. Actually, if I could add to that,
of course.
In my personal experience, developing staff from the produce department that go on to build a career, to Steve's point, not just in produce, but throughout the organization. Mm. That makes obviously when you do that, a company's invested, that employee has gotten the training, the skills they need to advance themselves, and they have that desire to do so. That actually is the lower cost for the company than to have to constantly have the churn and the turnover and constantly have to retrain people over and over again. So it's really the best cost is to develop your team and elevate them throughout the organization. And so we believe this tool can be part of that.
At essentially 50 bucks an employee,
yeah.
Right? You know, that's, it's right. $250, and I don't want to be the sales guy here. I'm sorry, Georgia. But, you know, for $250 for five employees, that's, you know, it's 50, that's what an inexpensive investment. And the payoff is just, as Joe said, it's just enormous.
It is, most definitely.
Well, and like you said, you think about everything from the day-to-day things, like the opportunities in reducing shrink and the dollars saved in that endeavor, and then your long-term, you know, employee development as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm imagining a big cost-saving opportunity in multiple areas like those.
Oh, it most definitely it is. So it's exponential to your point. So a $50 investment, to Steve's point, per person, what does that lead to in terms of savings? We used to say when I was in retail, it's the check you don't write. You know, you're spending the money, you're just not writing the check for it. And that's what this can help alleviate in some respect. Mm-hmm. You write it one time, and then you've got development throughout your team.
But some the more practical side of that savings is also when teaching an employee the right way to handle product automatically leads to reduced shrink.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got a savings on that end too. When you can teach them you know, what to do with bananas, and when you can teach them what to do with tomatoes, and why you have to do this and that, and you can't dump all of the stuff that goes into proper product handling. And in one of the modules where we go through every single, you know, most of the, you know, the commodities and teaching them how to handle every one of them. By the time they're through with that and they understand how best to display, you know, asparagus, you know, an expensive commodity, then you're going to come out so much better on the bottom line with trained employees. So there's a lot of ways that that this is financially beneficial.
Well, and Joe, I know that you mentioned to us that Avocados from Mexico is the sponsor of this program, and avocados are maybe the perfect example of so many details for so many different commodities, and for the person on the floor to know about those and be able to help shoppers with those is so huge. I mean, if you can help someone pick even something as simple as picking a ripe avocado when that's what they're looking for, I mean, the difference in experiences, as we've all had, I'm sure, as consumers ourselves, when you get home and you cut open the fruit and maybe it doesn't look great and there's some gray spots and maybe it was, you know, refrigerated when it shouldn't have been, versus when you cut into it and it's perfect and like, wow, that's fantastic. And what do? You go and you buy a bunch more avocados in your next grocery order, you know?
That's absolutely correct. And thank you for mentioning Avocados from Mexico. We're very, very proud to have them as our presenting sponsor for this. Very, very much looking forward to continuing to grow the relationship and to have them supporting this this tool. But to your point, Ashley, avocados are, it could be a number of other items. You know, avocados is one of those products where if an employee knows to tell a customer, well, this one's not ripe for tonight, as we used to say, it's ripe for tomorrow, and this is how you need to keep it at home to have it perfectly for tomorrow for you. Oh my gosh, you just won over that customer. They don't lose that product. And to your point, they use it, they come back, and they're going to buy more because they had a good experience. That is a win-win for everyone.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. And what's kind of the time that you guys expect it would take someone to go through the course?
Yeah, so we've gone through that exercise a couple of times, and we've had people take it as fast as 2 hours, some closer to 3 hours. And again, as they're taking the modules, they can stop and come back to them. They don't have to do them in succession. They can stop and come back and pick up where they left off. Because sometimes at store level, if they're doing it as a store level, they can only do it during a period of their shift, right? So they come in and do maybe a module or two, and then they pick it up tomorrow and do another module or two. And maybe over the course of a few days, they complete all 5 modules. And each module has to be, you know, you have to score at least a 90% to move on to the next one. So obviously there's a scoring method that goes with it. And then once the participant finishes it, then they'll get the link to receive their certificate of completion of the course.
It's, you know, one of the great things about this is it's very, you know, customizable in terms of time. You know, whether a retailer, you know, feels that they should bring someone in, 30 minutes ahead of their shift, and for five shifts to do it all at one time. I mean, they can get this accomplished in any number of ways. It's very, very flexible.
You know, and I'll add, I've talked to retailers about this product, this is a great way also to amplify what they're doing for their team. As employees go through this and they get their certificate, they can promote this in their publications, their magazine, or their weekly ad, or in store, what have you. It's a great way to talk to the consumer silently in this respect, to say, look, this is what we're doing to elevate our team to better have them prepared to serve you. So I think there's a great upside to this beyond just the skills, but it's that exposure that it helps grow that knowledge for the consumers of what they're doing to elevate their team.
That's a great point. Well, and along the lines of career development, I feel like even, again, going back to giving these folks a bigger picture of what the produce industry looks like, I think probably, you know, even if it doesn't address this specifically, like seeing what all goes into the industry, you have a much better idea of like, man, this really could be a career, you know, not just a job for a little while, you know?
There's, Steve, I'll let you go. I've got a thought, but I know you have a thought about that too.
Well, just a little. So the, you know, produce clerks have a, for many of them that are coming in off the streets or from another supplier and they're 16 years old, you know, the only thing they know about that box of lettuce, the only thing they know, if they ever is, you know, when they open the back door and the truck pulls up and there it is, everything that goes into that box up until that point, they have absolutely, they're a blank slate. And so much goes into that from farm to field. And to be able to teach them all of that, to be able to teach them about cold chain, to be able to teach them everything that goes into that box and just how special it is a really important part of this program. They're not going to walk away with, you know, Salinas dirt underneath their fingernails the way that I would love to see it, but they're going to get very close to it. They're going to have, I believe anyway, an appreciation for the whole back end, you know, of everything that is grown and everything that's on that counter. And that's really, really important. Really important.
Extremely. Well, and Steve, as you were saying, that the words that come to mind, the worst three words an employee can say to customers, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And how many times, to your point about the lettuce, it came out of the cooler, but that's all I know about it. I don't know anything else about it. If the customer asks you just a basic question, and you can't answer that as an employee, you're missing an opportunity. And this is where you need to prepare them for, I say you, retailers need to prepare them for those times for that engagement with the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of training in general, it makes me think of the totally unrelated produce saying your first loss is your best loss. Mm. Your first cost when it comes to training is your best cost, right? Like it's true to invest up front, then
absolutely
have those other things down the line. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, training brings with it so many, many benefits, you know, from employee development to reduction of shrink, to self-confidence, to setting the right tone for an entire market. It's a very, very inexpensive, at least from this perspective, investment with some amazing returns.
Well, it probably does just pour gasoline on the fire for those folks who, you know, have more of an inkling that maybe this is something they'd like to explore more and, you know, be in longer term. But it is, I think all of us in, whether it's at the grocery store or, you know, any number of different retail locations, when you run into that person who really knows what they're talking about, you're like, well, shoot, they can answer my questions. They can tell me all about these other things, and you wind up spending a little more money than probably otherwise would have spent, which is the whole deal, right?
It's really hard if you're a consumer, if you're standing in front of an employee and they're talking to you about, you know, new crop Gala apples, it's really hard for you to have that conversation and then to walk away without buying a few, right? So you just, at least, at the very least, you guilt them into buying a half of those.
Yeah, well, and there's so much, it's such a fun area, I think, because there's so much opportunity. You know, we've talked a lot, of course, about the trend toward health and wellness that there was even before the pandemic. And now it's like there's this whole new, I think, level of awareness on like, hey, how I fuel myself with food can make a difference in how strong and well I am, especially if there's something crazy going around, you know. So it'll be fun to see kind of what how people get engaged in that and kind of take it to the next level with point of sale material and all kinds of different opportunities out there. So
absolutely.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, guys, anything we've missed on the program or anything else y'all would like to add?
Ashley, what I would like to say is, first of all, again, to the independent and the regional retailers, this tool is available to PMA members. And it is, to Steve's point, it's a license fee. It's $250, which includes 5 users per location. So if you've got 10 stores, it's $2,500 when you think about it that way to train that amount of people when you think about it from that perspective. Also, too, Essentials of Produce at Retail is just part of the PMA Fresh Ed Academy of products, which includes two other produce safety tools that is more for the grower shipper side. But there are going to be other products being added to the library of products over the course of time. So, and the information is found directly from the PMA website. And we just started promoting from a marketing standpoint this new learning center just recently. So we're very excited about getting the message out. And thank you, Ashley, for the opportunity to do so. We are very excited about continuing to grow this tool and to help retailers. And if I may add one more thing, with Steve sitting here, and on behalf of all the retail task force, we had 10 retailers, one from Canada and nine from the U.S., who are part of the retail task force that were invaluable in terms of their feedback, their input, as we went through this process to make sure we had the right information. We were not going too deep, but we were getting to the point of what was most important to arrive at a product that was going to be the most meaningful, have the most value and impact for the target audience. So I can't thank the retail task force, their companies, and each one of them for participating.
The it's been a blast, Joe, and I can't speak for everybody on the retail task force, but they've been great to work with, and I've really enjoyed every moment of it. I'm looking forward to some more in the future. I also want to just a shout out to PMA for recognizing the need and addressing the need. I think for any industry, if you've got an association that represents you and aggressively pursues policies and develops programs that address a specific need within that industry community, I think that's fabulous, and PMA has really stepped up to do that. And so I want to thank Joe and Gina and everybody else at PMA that has put this together. It's been an awesome experience.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time today to talk about the new program, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you guys around very soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Joe. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
So that wraps us up for today. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. In case you're new here, the podcast name is Tip of the Iceberg because this is just a taste of our coverage of the wonderful world of fresh produce. You can check us out on thepacker.com and producemarketguide.com and all over social media. A few recent episodes that have been particularly popular and that you may want to add to your library are a deep dive on the economics of greenhouse growing with Nick Hushour of private equity firm Equilibrium, a discussion on merchandising fresh produce online, particularly generating impulse sales, with Scott Crawford, Chief Merchandising Officer for online grocery retailer Fresh Direct, and a conversation with United Fresh CEO Tom Stenzel at the turn of the year on the wins and losses for the produce industry in that latest COVID-19 relief bill. So thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Tip of the Iceberg Podcast.